Take your Bibles and turn to James, please. The first chapter of James. When you get to James chapter 1, I know you just sat down, but in the reverence of reading of God's Word, if you will, please stand with me. I'm going to start reading in verse number 2. So James chapter 1, verse number 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when we fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and bridleth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let no man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to thank you. Lord, I want to thank you for the Holy Spirit that we felt here today. God, I want to thank you for this group of believers that's gathered here, Lord. But I ask you right now to touch each one of us, Lord. Lord, open our hearts and minds. Lord, hide any distractions away from us that we might hear the pure Word of God, Lord. I pray right now that you would speak to us. Change us, Lord. May we leave here different than when we entered here. But dear God, I ask you to empty me of self and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Hide me behind the cross. Forgive me for my sins, Lord, and where I fall short of your glory. Lord, and I just pray that your will be done in this place and that you be glorified in every action and thought and deed. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. I want to encourage you, when you have time, break open the Bible and start reading it and allow God's holy word to work in your everyday life. But as I've told you already, this ain't what I really had planned to speak about today. My whole thing was the body of Christ. But as I've studied this and I had some notes written down, but God led me straight to it. And he opened up my heart that we're all facing trials in this life. No matter where your Christian walk is, you're going to face trials. And trials are just outward circumstances, like conflict, suffering, troubles. Something that you're going through in this time right now could be a trial. It could just be a trouble. It could be a temptation. But all of us in here, we go through this. The Bible don't say if. If you notice, in verse number 2, the Bible says when you. You're going to, every believer is going to encounter some trials at some point in time. And as hard as it may be for you right now to wrap your mind around, there's joy in that. There's joy in knowing that that trials and troubles, that it's a tool to refine and to test our faith. So once you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's not over. That's just the beginning. And see, I got to thinking, these trials, they test our faith. So how many of you in here have kids or grandkids? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you in here will put your grandchild, your child, in a car seat that has never been tested, that you don't even know works or not? Exactly what I thought. None of us, right? So why do we get so upset when we go through these hard times and we beg God to make them stop and take them away from us, when a lot of times he allowed it to happen to test our faith, to test our walk with him, to make us better Christians? And I want to open the Bible up today, and as we read these few verses, to maybe open your minds, not to, when I say joy, see, happiness comes from our circumstances on the outside. Joy comes from within. And I ain't saying you got to be all happy because you're going through a hard time. I'm saying is that is strengthening your faith, and that should make you be joyful because God is working in your life. So that's where the joy comes from, that you know God is with you and He keeps all His promises. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. But trials, it teaches perseverance. And perseverance is I had to look it up because I wanted to make sure I got it right, is persistent in doing something despite difficulty. How many of us through trials, and this is, I'm guilty. I'm going to tell you, a while back, we go on a diet, and I quit drinking Diet Mountain Dew. And then you know what happened? A storm would hit, and I'd work all night long, be dragging. And boy, that Diet Mountain Dew would make my mouth water. I'd go get me one. See, I was losing my perseverance during that trial in my life because I give in. How many of us sometimes we're going through these hard times in life and we're trying to read our Bible. We're dedicating time. But then this hardship comes and our wife starts fussing at us and our kids start screaming. And before long, that quiet time that we promised God we would give Him shrinks to nothing. And we ain't even cracking open our Bible. We ain't getting on our knees praying. That time is pushed aside because the things of the world has become in us. We've let that trial affect our spiritual walk. We need to not do that. We need to allow the trial to teach us perseverance. And see, we often want Jesus to come in and speak some magic words and look, everything, we want our life to be just perfect. We say, well, why can't you, Jesus? You was at their beginning when God spoke the world into existence. All you had to do is speak some words and you can change the whole world. See, it don't work that way. If everything was good in our lives, you think you would appreciate the good? No. We have to have the bad to appreciate the good. So what I'm saying is, when you're going through these hard times and these trials, it's going to teach you perseverance to keep you striving to be a good Christian, striving to walk with God, striving to keep the faith. And then in turn, He's going to be there with you through it all. And He's going to be there. He's not going to just make everything go away, but He will be there with you, inside you. See, He's testing you, but He's not testing you like your kids test you. Amen? If your kids have tested your nerves last week, say amen. Yeah, that's what, look, oh yeah, I even got some, ooh. God ain't testing you that way. He's testing you like He tested Job. Like He told Job got everything taken away from him, but he still praised God. And I want to tell you, can we show a picture? Ryan, can we show my picture? Can y'all see that? Can y'all in the back see that? That is, what that is that's my back porch. That is one of my wife's pillows that was filled with feathers. We come home from the beach and this is what we find. I wish God would have said, hey, clean up them feathers and they would all have been gone. But let me tell you, have y'all ever tried to get up feathers in a yard? I didn't think so. Anybody raise your hand if you have. Yep. Well, I got one too. No, you didn't. She's lying in church. The altar is where she needs to be. It's her dog who tore the pillows up and she did not help one bit. So let me tell y'all. I had this bright idea. Shop vac. Yep. The shop vac's going to clean all these fellas up perfectly. I thought that this went through my mind this morning as I was praying. We want God to use a shop vac a lot of times because it's a whole lot quicker when we have trials and tribulations and hard times in our life. Clean them all up right quick, God. Guess what the shop vac done? It sucked them up real good and blew them right out the back. I thought, I wasn't paying no attention. I whoa, all of the feathers gone. Turn around and look. And there was a pile of them behind me. Y'all, I ain't kidding. So then I get the bright idea. I need a plastic bag to catch all the feathers from the shop vac. So I fixed me up like 30 minutes fixing up the plastic bag. Started again. Whoa. That plastic bag's flapping in the wind, ain't catching one feather. Let me tell you, That's exactly how we try to fix our trials and tribulations when we're going through hard times. Instead of picking them up one by one, which we end up having to do, we had to pick them up one by one, almost every one of them. I mean, we can get a whole pile every once in a while. When they got scattered out, you was best just pick them up one by one to get them out of the yard. That's what we have to do with our trials, y'all. We can't just combine them all and deal with them all at once. You got to deal with them one at a time with the help of Jesus Christ to get through it and get it cleaned up in your life. If you're not, you're just pushing it somewhere else, and you're going to have to deal with it later. But I had help. It's okay to call on help during your trials, your temptations, your struggles. You can call on help. See, Matt came down and helped me, and I got done in half the time because I had help. That's why it's so important to be plugged into a Bible-believing, God-fearing church that's got people who striving to do their best to live for God, because you can call on them and they will be faithful to pray for you. They will be faithful to help you in your time of need, to pick you up when you fall. Y'all, I wasn't kidding. That was a job. But you know what? That's nothing in comparison to the struggles we face in this world. And the person you really need to call on for help is Jesus Christ. You might be a Christian in here and you've been a Christian for 50 years. I guarantee you, you got struggles. I guarantee you, you face trials, you face temptation. But during that, the trials will teach you perseverance. See, we need to strive for that, because 1 John 3:2 says, someday we shall be perfect as He is. We should strive for that. And see, in verse number 5 right here, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, or you lack in wisdom, because see, to get perseverance, see, perseverance brings spiritual maturity. See, we were just born sinners in a nasty, dirty world. All of us, we're equal. So if you're sitting in here and you may be a newborn believer, been a believer for a week, and you might be sitting beside somebody that's been a believer for 50 years, y'all are equal. You both are sinners saved by grace. You both going through trials. You both are facing mountains in your life. The only difference, I pray and hope, is that 50-year Christian will have wisdom. You know where wisdom comes from? During your trials and temptations and troubles, you ask God to help you. But I want to ask you, how many of you in here, we know better than God? You say, well, bless God, I hope nobody says that. But a lot of times, we'll hear God's word, feel His presence, know what we're supposed to do with our lives, know we're supposed to turn away from that certain sin, but yet we turn and go right back to it. Let me tell y'all a story. This week, we was in the water, and people jump up. Here's what. It was me and Christy, and Vanessa was out there, and we was wading in. Vanessa can't swim, and Christy's scared of the water that she can't see her feet in. We was wading out in Panama City. The water was mucky the first day. You couldn't see nothing. And Vanessa said, I heard somebody in Daytona got bit by a shark. I said, we ain't in Daytona. We in Panama City. Let's go. And about the time I got that out of my mouth, Haley stands up screaming, y'all get in. Come in. I'm like, what's she saying? Come in. We turn and look. You see a dorsal fin out there like this right here. I almost became Jesus, started walking on water. Vanessa didn't become Jesus. She started crawling. She fell and started crawling. That's why that song hit me, even if I have to crawl. We seen that shark. We come running out. He was out there in the blue part of the water. There was a man swimming out there. Everybody was hollering and screaming for him to come in. He wasn't paying him no mind. Well, his buddy takes off and starts swimming out there to him. I can just hear his buddy hollering, but he's swimming. Then I can't hear him. His buddy's still swimming. I guess he got out there probably about 20, 30 feet from him. He hollers, "Get in here, there's a shark out there." And y'all, it's like a big old log in the water with a fin sticking up. It wasn't going like this, like dolphins do. It was staying up. So he, dude swims in. It wasn't 5 minutes, dude was swimming back out there. Ain't that how we do, some of us do in our Christian walk? Listen to me. You first hear about Jesus, you're in a church. People saying, "Come in, come on down to the altar and pray." You come and pray and you give it. Some of us even have to crawl up here. Some of us fall on our way. See, we're going to fall, but you can have other people helping you up and getting you down here. But once you get down here, some of us stay in God's will. But you know what some of us do? We get about halfway here, we stop, and we turn around and we go back into that shark-infested water called this world, and we start swimming out there with the sharks who are waiting to eat you and tear you apart from limb to limb, make you bleed, and not have any regret doing it. And we call that man crazy. Some of us are that friend who's trying our best to get our loved ones in church, to tell them about Jesus Christ, to try to tell them about the saving grace that Jesus Christ, what He paid for us on the cross at Calvary, shed His blood so we wouldn't have to. I want to ask you today, are you swimming in sharky water? Because for me, it don't make no sense, y'all. Why do we so often go back and start doing the things of the world when it's so dangerous? How many of y'all would swim back out there and swim with that shark? Raise your hand. Exactly what I thought. You in his home territory. He knows the ins and outs way better than you. And he can swim. And he's got teeth. Same thing with this world. Why do you want to walk in this world? That's Satan's back door. And his teeth will cut you to the bone. So during these trials, during these temptations, we need to trust in Him. Let Him teach us. Have the joy that God is using us during this trial. He's using us during these hard times. You might be losing everything you got, financially, physically, emotionally. But if you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, He's going to get you through it, and you're going to come out better on the other side. Job did. Verse number 6. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. See, the waves of this world is like a wave of the sea driven wind and tall sea. Talk about wavering here. See, a lot of us, we try to balance God and the world. You try to do worldly things and you try to go to church. You try to pray, but you want to hang out with these friends and do what they do. Or you want to say these things. You want to act this way. And before long, the wind will blow you over. I'm going to stress to you, be anchored in Christ. Let Christ be your anchor and you will not waver. Verse number 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Exactly what I was saying. We've got to cling to God, y'all. Consider it joy in your trials. Trials teach Perseverance brings spiritual maturity, which brings wisdom. I read Martin Luther said the first qualification in ministry is temptation. They asked him, what's the second qualification of ministry? Temptation. What's the third qualification in ministry? Temptation. He said, a good worker is to be tested. So if you want to be a good worker in Christ, you're going to get tested. If you say, well, I don't want to be tested, well, then you don't want to serve God, because God wants you to be a strong Christian man or woman that He called you to be, to tell a lost and dying world, to keep them from going to hell. So if you're saved and you're a Christian, you need to tell folks you're saved. Tell them you're a Christian. Tell them about Jesus Christ and what He done for you on Calvary's cross, and the blood He shed, how He rose again on the third day, and what He's done for your life. Today, yesterday, tomorrow, what He's doing for your family, how He's bringing you together, how He's doing some miracles in your life, how you might not got the promotion, but He's still supplying all your needs money-wise, how He's taking care of you and your girlfriend, your wife, your husband, your boyfriend, how your kids are growing. You need to tell the world what Jesus Christ is doing for you. That's going to bring wisdom when you take those trials and you let them teach you perseverance, and you let that perseverance bring spiritual maturity, and then that wisdom comes with it. And then those people who are born again right now, just have got saved, they're going to look at you for you to share that wisdom. But you know what we do? We don't stay protected. And I read in Psalms, and I'm about done. I'm going to read in Psalms 23. We all know Psalms 23, right? I'm going to read just a few words out of there. Verse number 5, the last part says, "Thou anointest my head with oil." You may need to get protected. You may be out in this world, and you may be, you know, Jesus Christ is our shepherd and we're His sheep, right? Well, you know, shepherds anointed the head of the sheep because they'd get stuck in briars and they'd get entangled and they couldn't get out and it would choke them to death. How many of y'all know somebody in this world, in your life, that has got their head stuck in the world of the briars, and they're tangled up and caught, and they can't get out? Anybody? They may need their head anointed with oil from God Almighty. Y'all, a sheep gets tormented by these flies who lands in their nostrils and lay eggs, and it comes to be worms. Did y'all know that? I see some of y'all wiping your nose right now. Just the thought of that. Just, ooh. We went to play golf when we was at the beach. I was up there getting ready to hit an old gnat. That's why I missed that one shot I missed. Because that gnat. Gnats are aggravating. Say amen. That's right. They aggravate a sheep's ear. And you know what a sheep does when those worms and flies get in its nose? It goes to the rock and it starts banging its head on the rock to find some relief. Ends up killing itself. Just trying to get relief from the stuff that's bothering it. How many of you today are in a trial, in an aggravating circumstance, and you're banging your head on the rock right now, trying your best to make it stop? You need to get under the anointing power of the Holy Spirit so He can take that away and you can live your life how you're called to live it. See, some of us in here, we're not believers. With a number this big, there's probably one person here who has never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. If you have not, I'm telling you, your name might be in this box. This box right here has got people's names in it that is on our hearts that we don't know if they're saved or not. So if you got somebody that's on your heart, feel free to come up here, write your name down, fold it up. We don't know whose name's in that box. I don't read those names, but what I do is come place my hand on it and beg God to move in their lives, because He knows whose name's in that box.
So here's what I'm telling you. If you're here and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, maybe it's time for you to give that old lifestyle up of the world and put your faith and trust in a risen Savior who rose on the third day, who gave everything for you, and He's willing to give you life and give you life more abundantly right here today. But if you're a Christian and you say, well, Dwayne, I've been going through these trials. I've been letting it get to me, because I can tell some of us come in here drained every week from the trials of this earth. We come in here, we're tired. We're tired of being tempted. We're tired of being tried. Well, God can anoint your head and refresh you so you can quit banging your head on that rock and you can quit killing yourself so you can live for Him. The blood covers it all. Y'all realize that, right? The blood of Jesus Christ. It covers all the sin that you've ever done. No matter what you've done from today in the past, Jesus Christ, His blood covers it all. It covers every sin that you've ever done. Also, it will anoint you like never before. So when I ask you here today, I'm done. I'm not going to prolong this at all. If you will, please stand with me. If these trials in your life or temptations or troubles that you've been facing have become so overwhelming in your life, you don't know what to do, this altar's open. But if you're facing those little trials that you might think is just small, those work problems that you have, listen, those little things can be the aggravating gnats that's in the sheep's ear that causes him eventually to start banging his head. You need to take care of them now before they get big. And the only way to take care of them is let the Holy Spirit anoint you. And I don't know who this was for, but I hope and pray that God is stirring in y'all's heart. If you haven't received Jesus Christ ever, I tell you what, y'all bow your heads, I'm going to ask you. Nobody looking around, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or if you're not 100% sure, the Bible tells us we can have assurance of our salvation. We can be 100% sure. If I say, are you going to heaven when you die? If you say, I think so, I hope so, or maybe so, I want you to raise your hand. Is anybody not sure in this place today? Just slip your hand up. It's just between me and you. I'm not going to call you out. I wouldn't dare embarrass you. Just me and you, the only person who knows. Slip your hand up. Amen. Anybody else? Slip it up, make sure I see it. Anybody? Amen. Any more? Don't be ashamed. Hey, there's nothing wrong with it. I want you 100% sure that if you die today, you'll spend eternity in heaven. Anybody else? You say, Dwayne, I just need your prayers. I'm not living the way I should. I don't need to know the circumstance. All I need to know is I need to pray for you. If you say, just pray for me, Dwayne, slip your hand up. Amen, 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 amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? Amen. Hands all over the place. As I pray right here, when I get done praying, the music's going to start. And I want to encourage you. This altar's open for whatever your need might be. If you want to come over here and pray with me, by all means, come grab me by the arm. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you right now, Lord, these people raise their hand, dear God. I'm asking you to give them strength. Lord, anoint them with the Holy Spirit. Get them to an old-time altar, Lord, where it's just them and God. And Lord, I pray that you allow them to feel Jesus Christ in their hearts right now. For the ones who raised their hand about not knowing you 100%, Lord, I pray that you'll get them down here. But dear God, the ones who need prayer, I beg you to move in their lives. And Lord, for everyone else,